glitch. We left off in the middle, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we left off in the middle of the Malacha of Gozes. There is a Mishnah in Nazir. A Nazir is not, as Osir has three Isurim, Shloshadam Asur and Nazir, Tuma Tiglachas and Yain. Tiglachas, the Nazir is permitted to shave his beard if he wants to, just not allowed to cut off his hair. If he shaves the hair off, Rosha Loi Galech. If he shaves off his hair with Giluch, with Tiglachas, then he gets Malchus. If he puts on a chemical, if he puts on powder, and he removes the hair, not through a Maisa Giluch, he doesn't get Malchus because he didn't violate Rosha Loi Galech, but he violated the essay of Gadel Peres HaRosh. It says the Nazir is Mekabel Nazir is Kadosh Yiyeh Gadel Peres HaRosh. So the Mishnah says the Nazir is not allowed to pull out the hair on his head even with his hands. But nonetheless, he's permitted, let's say he has long hair, he's permitted to move the hair over a little bit, to touch the hair, to move the hair, because that's not, he's not interested in pulling out of here. So the Loshan HaMishnah, Nazir Chofe from a fast face, Avalo Sorek. He's not allowed to comb his hair. Because in the process of combing his hair, the Gemara assumes that it'll be a psikreshe, that at least one hair will be pulled out. And even according to the Oruch, Taisus in Shabbos, and in Masechus Ksubis, the beginning of Ksubis, Taisus quotes from the Oruch, that a psikresha de lo nichale is mutter. Taisus disagrees. Taisus holds psikresha de lo nichale is not mutter. On Shabbos it'll be a malacha shen svicha legufa. It'll be potter avalasa. But the Oruch is of the opinion psikresha de lo nichale is mutter. So the Taisus raises the kasha on the Oruch. Why does the Mishnah say that the Nazir is permitted to move his hair a little bit, to touch it a little bit, but Avalo Sorek is not allowed to comb his hair? Why? Because it's a psikreshe. Then in the process of combing the hair, you're going to yank out a hair, but it's a lo nichale. He doesn't care one way or the other. So Taisus answers, Taisus themselves disagree with the Oruch. They hold psikreshe lo nichale is awesome. But but to defend the Oruch, to explain that the Gemara says he's combing his hair because he wants his head to be neat. So if there is a hair that's a little bit loose, he will be happy. It'll be nichale. He wants to get it out of the way so it won't interfere with his good looks. He doesn't want to have a hair sticking out. So if there's a hair that's half a little bit loose and he's going to comb his hair, it'll be a secretion. Nichale, he'll be happy that that hair is removed so it won't disturb his good looks. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, for the Nazir, this is a din all week long. Nazir is not allowed to be sorry because it's a psikreshe that he's going to be in the process of combing the hair. He's going to yank out the hair. And for everybody who's not a Nazir, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to, there's a malacha gozes, you're not allowed to pull out any hair. So to be chofe from a fast face would be mutter. Then from Shotkan, what it means, Chavim Bas, means to toss your hair around, to move the hair a little bit, provided Avalosar, that you shouldn't comb the hair, because combing the hair with a comb is going to be a psikresha, hair is going to fall out. So that's where Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the, he quotes the Merli apostles say like that, the Rivosh and some others, and he thinks that's the din based on the Mishnah in Nazir. Then in the Beis Yosef, the end of this is the left sif and Simon Shin Gimel, the left sif. In the Beis Yosef, he says that one of his contemporaries disagreed with him, and he always quotes all the opinions. He quotes with great respect for all those that disagree with him. That's what the Chidor writes, that the Mekubalim, the Chidor lived in the 1700s, and Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in the 1500s. So he writes in one place, in the Shem Agdolim, that in the generation of Rabbi Yosef Kara, there were three great Rabbanim, with the name Yosef. One was Rabbi Yosef Karo, one was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak. He was the rabbi in Constantinople for a while. He and another one are known as Maritatz, Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak. There was another Maritatz who was a young teenager when Rabbi Yosef Karo passed away. is Rabbi Yontif Tzahalon. That's a different Maritatz. But the contemporary of Rabbi Yosef was Maritatz, Rabbi Yosef Taitat Tzak from Constantinople. And then there was the third Yosef in the same generation, Mari Ibn Leif, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Leif. And Men HaShemayim, this is what the Chido says, the Mekubalim felt, Men HaShemayim, they felt that one of the three Yosefs will be Zeicher to write a Sefer Psak Halacha that will guide the Jewish people for many generations. And all three were Roy Lekach. And because of Rabbi Yosef Karo's great degree of humility, so that's why he was the one who was chosen, Men HaShemayim, to be the one to write the Shulchan Aruch, which went down in history, Yad HaYam HaZeh, as the Sefer Psak. And he points out, you can see his humility from the way he writes to Bess Yosef. He always quotes all those opinions who disagree with him with great respect. And he gives his opinion. He never demolishes, he never attacks the others. So the Bess Yosef, at the end of Shin Gimel, says that one of his contemporaries, I forgot the name, was a Sfardische Gottel, disagreed with him and held that on Shabbos it's mutter, and he thinks that it's not correct. What could possibly be the svar lachalek? The Mishnah says in Nazir that the Gemara explains in Nazir that despite, even if you hold like Reb Shimon, there's machlekes Reb Shimon Reb Yude, where the dovah sheinim is kaven is also a mutter. Person is doing a pool, he's combing his hair, he wants his hair to be neat, and he knows in advance that may or may not cause yanking out of a hair. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Sofik deraisa luchumri, you're not allowed to comb your hair because it may rip out some hairs. The nazir is not allowed to. He won't be in violation of lo yigaleach. It's not giluach, but he's in violation of the essay, gadol peres harosham. So, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, davar shein miskaven should be aser. But according to Rabbi Shimon, davar shein miskaven is mutam. Doing a pula hamuteris, which I know in advance, may or may not result in a pulu asura. So all the Rishonim pass like Reb Shimon. Dov Shem is Kaben is Mutter. The one who disagrees with all the Rishonim is the Rabbi Yankif Emden. He thinks they all made a mistake. He takes on all the Rishonim. He thinks they all made a mistake, and the psak should be that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. And on Shabbos, because there's an Issa Nisa, there we should say Dov Shem is Kaben is Asa. And on Yontif, because it's only Malkus, so there it's an Issa Kal. The Rambam distinguishes between, the Rambam says that the Soyer HaMishtaleach, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam says in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Tshuva, there's never any kapare if the person doesn't do tshuva. Haruge Bezin have to say Bidui before the Bezin gives them the death penalty. Kola Misvadim, if you say Bidui, the Tei Misasi Kapara Kola Benesai, then the Misa will be a kapara. And Chavi Malkius, they would tell them they should do tshuva. They don't do tshuva, so they don't get a kapara. When they bring korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, they have to do tshuva. And Yom Kippur is a machlekes satanoim, where the Yom Kippur is mechapa the sheinim shavim, and the Rambam assumes it's a shalom halacha, not just a shalom bezin shalmaila, the shalom halacha lemaisim bezin shalmata also sometimes. So we paskin that the Rambam paskins. Not everybody accepts that Rambam. Some of the goyim just agree. But the Rambam adopts the position that Yom Kippur is only mechaper if the person does tshuva. So that's what the Rambam makes a klal. We once mentioned, the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis, one who is mehalach da'alad amas in Eretz Yisrael gets a mechilas havainas, based on the pasuk at the end of Shiras Azein and the Chippur, Admasa Yamai, that walking in Admasa, walking in Eretz Yisrael, will bring a kapar. So the Pnei Yeshua says on that Gemara, the Minkatcha, before the Second World War, Minkatcha was the main anti-Zionist preacher in Hungary, and all the others were so petrified from him, so they all went along with him. All the Hungarian rabbanim, so he used to quote that, he has it in his Chubis, the Minchas Oluza, and he used to quote it all the time, that the Pnei Yeshua says that anti-religious Zionists think that they're going to walk in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to get Mechilas Habaynas. There's no Mechilas Habaynas unless you do tshuva. So he doesn't see that anybody's doing tshuva from the secular Zionists, so it's not going to help them. So the Rambam writes one exception to the rule. We don't have this in the Talmud Bavli. It's based on a Yerushalmi, but I don't even think we have it. We don't even have that use in the Yerushalmi. So the Rambam writes that the Sor HaMishtaleach, which was brought, this bunch of Ismegdash HaKaim, was brought as on Yom Kippur, is Mechaper, even if the person didn't do tshuva, If the averis are only averis kalos, if the averis are hamuris, then the sar mishtalech is not mechaper. That was his girsa in the Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, it doesn't exist, and even in the Yerushalmi, it's the Rambam's girsa in the Yerushalmi. So what's the difference between chamuris and kalos? So the Rambam says kalos are when there's only malchus, and chamuris is when there's krisis and misses best. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin around Daf Pei Gimel Pei Dalid has, at one point, the Gemara has such a suggestion. Rabbi Yankev Emden adopts that position. Rabbi Yankev Emden has a commentary on Mishnayos. So Mishnayos and Beitza, he comes to that conclusion. All the Rishonim made a mistake. They all assume that dinners like Rabbi Shimon and Dovah Shein Miskaven is mutter. And he thinks that it's not correct. We should pass on like that Svara in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Dovah Shein Miskaven is only mutter by Kalos and not by Chamuris. The Gemara starts off like that we should distinguish, and then the Gemara says, but Shabbos, despite the fact that it has Koris and Nisus Bezdin, so it should really be from the Chamuras, but because the Pasuk says, Malachas Machshevas Asra Torah, so it's if it's a Dovah Shein Miskaven, so that's by definition a lack of Malachas Machshevas. It's lacking Malachas Machshevas, so we should treat Shabbos the same as Kalois. According to Rabbi Shimon, that Dovah Shein Miskaven would be Mutter. Rabbi Yankev Emden paskens like the Hascholos HaGemara, without that additional step. So he wants to say Dovah Shein Miskaven is only mutter on Yom Tov, on Shabbos it does. But we don't accept that opinion. We assume Dovah Shein Miskaven is mutter on Shabbos because it lacks Malachas Machshevas. So this one of the Sephardish contemporaries of Rabbi Yosef Karo held that Mishnah that says that using a comb, the comb you hear is a psik resha that is going to cause pulling out some of the air. It's only a psik resha in Hilchas Nozir. But for Shabbos purposes, you can be mekel. What's the svar lahokel? So remember, Rabban Soloveitchik said over, I never heard this from Rabbi Yoshua Soloveitchik, but Rabban Soloveitchik said over the name of his father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, he thought that the Nekudas HaMachloikis is the following. When you comb your hair, I don't have any hair to comb, but a person has a normal head of hair. So when he combs his hair, you comb, how many times do you push the comb through your head? 5-6 times, a few times. Each stroke of combing your hair, each and every stroke, you cannot say each stroke is a secretion that's going to rip out a hair. So if a person combs his hair 100 times, he's going to be missing 100 hairs. That's not true. We know Mitzvahs is not true. So what does the Gemara say that it's a psik resha that is going to yank out of here? I mean, the whole process, the composite of all of the strokes, some people will comb their hair 6-7 times with 6 or 7 strokes. Other people will comb their hair 25 strokes. The composite of all of the strokes together will certainly cause at least one hair to be pulled out, and that'll be a psik resha d'nichalei. So that's a question as what to judge. Since Malacha Shabbos only asks if you do a Maisa Malacha, and each Maisa per se, each stroke of the comb itself is not a psikreshe. So each pool of combing the hair is a Dovah Shein Miskaven is mutter. So who says that we should judge it as one big composite? All of the 10 times, all of the 20 times of combing your hair is treated as one composite, and the whole thing together has a psikreshe. At least one hair is going to be pulled out. That's going to be awesome. So the Mishnah says that you do say like that. So the Rabbi Yosef Karo says, you see from the Mishnah. So this other contemporary of his, in the history books they quoted, I forgot already who the other, one was a Sephardish Gadol also. Rabbi Yosef doesn't tell you who it is. It just says that one of his contemporaries disagreed with him in the end of Shin Gimel. So the other one apparently was of the opinion by Nazir, because there's an essay in addition to the Lois essay, Roshim Leigalechu, in addition to the lav, there's an essay of Karl Peres Arosho, you have to let the hair grow. So because of that essay, it means you should let the hair grow considering everything, with everything considered. Not only should you not mimi galeach your hair, you should see to it Karl Peres Arosho. So there and only there do we say that the composite of all of the strokes of the comb to the head full of hair is a psik resha, because bevados, one hair is going to come out. But by Shabbos, with the din is it's only labeled as a malacha, If you do a maisa melacha and each maisa per se, each maisa on its own is a dovah she'eina miskaven, it's not a vados. So you don't have the right to say that I put together all of the strokes of the comb, and the composite of all of the strokes is one combing of the head, and that's bichlalusa, it's a psikration. That's only a din by nozer. That was the svara lechali. But the lemaisa of Yosef Karo won this machlaik is because he wrote to Shulchan Aruch. And Hashemayim, they saw to it, he should be the one. He wrote to Shulchan Aruch. The other one didn't write to Shulchan Aruch. So that's why Rabbi Yosef Karo's opinion was accepted by everybody. So that's the malacha of Gozis. Okay. The first 11 malachas were all Sidura de Pas. That's how the Gemara points out. And then the next few malachas, starting Taka from Gozes, what was the last malacha? Was Ofer Marashel. The 11th malacha was Ofer Marashel. The 12th malacha is Gozes. So starting from Gozes, the next five or six have to do with weaving. So first you have Gozes, you shear off the wool from the sheep. Gozes means if you cut off hair, you cut off fingernails, okay. But the original Gozes in the Seder of the Malachas, he shears off the wool, and then you have Malabain, the wool is all filthy, so you have to wash it out to clean it. That's the Malacha, the 13th Malacha, Malabain. Then you have Menapates. Menapates is, I think the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even quote these Malachas. Menapates is, I'm using the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis, as before Masech Shabbos has a long contrast that's called Kalkelis HaShabbos. Many of the later Akronim quote a lot from the Kalkelis HaShabbos. He goes to Malacha by Malacha, all the Dinim Derais, all the Dinim Derabonon, and he gives his own opinion sometimes. So Menapets is either Tzemer or Pishtim, as it grows from the ground, the Pishtim, or the Tzemer grows on the animal. So then you have to comb it and soften it in order that you should be able to make thread out of it later on. So after Menapets comes Tzoveya, you're going to dye some of the wool, you're going to dye a different color if you want to have a colorful sweater or so on. Then you have Tove. You take the wool that you soften by combing it and by banging it, then you make it into thread. And Mesach and Oisishnei Batinirin and Oreg and Potzeya are also malachas having to do with weaving. All of these together. So the next malacha, and this whole bunch of malachas has to do with shearing off the wool from the back of the sheep and making it into thread, then taking the thread and weaving it with a warp and a woof, with a shesiv, and you make a beged out of it, and so on. So the malacha of malabin is when you wash out the dirt from the dirty wool. The Gemara says explicitly that one is permitted to wash dishes on Shabbos. How come malabin is only on clothing? Why doesn't malabin apply to dirty dishes? You get all the grease off and you get all the food that's stuck to the plate. So the Avdenezer, the Tzach Tshever Rebbe, died around 100 years ago in the early 1900s. So the Avdenezer worked on all the malachas. He tries to give a definition of the malacha. It wasn't such a concept to define your terms until very recent, until 100 years ago. The Balatanya does a little bit of work on it. Balatanya was the late 1700s, so here, the same time as the Vilna Gaon. So he also works a little bit, but Avnei Nezer has a lot. So the first 13 malachas or so through Gozes, Avnei Nezer did a lot of work on, and then he put out the Sefer Egle Tal. Egle Tal is on the Lamates malachas, where he wrote a lot about each one of the malachas, and he completed all the work that he planned to do. And the rest of the malachas, he began all of the work, but he never completed it. So if you look in the Shalos Teshuvos, Avnei Nezer, Chelek Arachaim, Chelek Aleph, Tu Chalokim Arachaim. So Chelek Aleph has all of Hilchos Shabbos, has the beginning of the work that he prepared, which he never completed, on the rest of the malachas. So he raises this issue. Why does the Gemara say it's permissible to wash plates on Shabbos? How come that's not malabin? So he thinks that the difference is if you have wool that's dirty or you have clothing that's dirty, the dirt is absorbed in the beged. So since the dirt is absorbed, it's balu on the beged, and then you're taking it out, so that's called malavim. But when you wash the dishes, the dirt is all on the surface. So that's why it's not a violation of malavim. So what if a person, so then he raises the question, what if a person has a trefa pot and he does hagola? So the hagola has the trefa bliya, like the dirt. The hagola, he's removing the trefa bliya that's absorbed in the doifne hakli. So he thinks, anachanami, that would be a violation of malabim. That should be an isa malabim. I don't have contact lenses, but the people who have contact lenses use special solution. They soak the lenses in special solution to get all the dirt out. So about 20 years ago, someone in Eretz Yisrael published a whole mimer where he claims that the contact, the special solution that they use doesn't only get the dirt off from the surface, these contact lenses are porous, and the special solution goes through and through and takes out the dirt that's balua inside the contact lenses also. So it's not the same as washing dishes. Washing dishes is mutter, but here you're taking out the dirt that's balua. It should be like the Avnei Nezer said about doing hagola on a trefa kli, that the tam iser is balua on the dirt and hakli, that should be a violation of malabim. So the same should be regarding contact lenses. As I said, I don't have contact lenses. I never followed up with the rest of the discussion. You have to look in the recent Svarim. You have to look in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. What does he say? Does he really think that it should be an Issa? Yeah, Malabain, the Gemara says, I remember years ago when we had our babies, so we used to use cloth diapers. Then in the middle, we had 9 babies, 20 years apart. And then in the middle of the 9 babies, then they switched to disposable diapers. But for many years, we were using cloth diapers. So a lot of times you have a dirty diaper, and you don't want the dirt to get really dirty diaper. You don't want the dirt to get ingrained in the cloth. So it's going to be more difficult to get it out. So you throw it into a container that has a lot of water. You don't squeeze it, you don't do anything. You just throw it in and it's soaking. So the Gemara in Zvochim, on Daf Tzadik Daled, talks about this idea of Malabin on Shabbos, because there's a pasuk in Chumash, if you have a Dam Chata, this Perek Dam Chatas, that's the name of the Perek towards the end of Zvochim. So if you have Dam Chatas Shenitas Al HaBeged, so it says, Techabes b'mokim kodesh. You have to wash out dam of a korban chatas that you were supposed to be zorek on the mizbeach. So, and it got spritzed onto a garment. So you have to soak the garment in order to get the dam out. You have to soak it in the azor. It's a mitzvah. And the same thing if you cook the korban, let's say cook the korban chatas in a pot. So the kohanim have to eat the chatas yom v'laylo ad chatzois. But then the bliya, they cooked it in a pot. So then there's going to be a bliya of chatas in the pot. So whatever you're going to cook after that, will have the bliya will come out from the chatos, go into the, let's say I'm going to cook a shlomim afterwards. Shlomim is nechul shnei yamim v'layla echad, and shlomim can be eaten by a non-kohen, but if I'm going to cook the shlomim in the same pot where I cook the chatos, so the chatos tam, the tam habalua from the chatos into the pot, going to come out and enter into the shlomim food, so the shlomim will be restricted. You won't be able to eat it after Yom V'Layla Ad Chatzos, and only Kohanim Zichrei Kuna can eat it in the Azara. So the Torah says, then you have to do Hagola. Kalina Choshes, Bim Kalina Choshes Bushala, Omorak Mishuta Bamaimas, and less Vixedra. I think in Parsha Sav. So it says, if you cook the Chatas and the Klicheres, so Klicheres Hagola doesn't help. You can do Libun. But in Yerushalayim, they didn't have kifshinus, so the whole city wouldn't be full of smoke. So you can only do liban, and liban doesn't help any klicheres. So that's the pasuk that says in Parshas Tzav that if you cook the chatos in a klicheres, you have to smash it and throw it in the garbage. Doesn't mean that you smash it, then you can glue it back together and use it. It has a bli of the chatos in it. It's not going to help to smash it. If you smash it and throw it in the garbage, you can't reuse it. because you can't do Haggadah, and you can't do Liban because there's no Kipshonis in Yerushalayim, because you don't want to have smoke all over the place. So you have no choice, you have to throw it out in the garbage. But it says if you cook the Korban Chatos in a clean choshes, any other kli, that Haggadah will help. So the Torah says you do Haggadah in the Azara. You have to do Haggadah in the Azara. That's called Merika Ushtifa. What are the two Lashonis, Merika Ushtifa? So Gemara says Merika is Bechamen and Shtifa is Betzayna. You have to do Haggadah on the Kli, and after you complete doing the Haggadah in the Azara, after you do the Haggadah in the Azara, then you have to rinse it off with cold water. It's not that the cold water helps to complete the Haggadah, it's a mitzvah. Like it has to be done in the Azara. There's no such din. Haggadah, when you have Haggadah, it doesn't have to be done in the Makom Kodesh. You don't have to do Haggadah dafka in the shul. You can do Haggadah at home also. But the Merika Shtifa has to be done in the Azara. So it says in that same parsha, and if Dam Chattis, Ashi'iza Medom Ala Beged, if some of the Dam Chattis that was not yet Nizrak on the Mizbeach, it's Omed Lehizarek on the Mizbeach, so it's spritzed on the Beged, so you have to wash it out in the Azara. The Chabez B'Makom Kodesh. So Gemara talks about washing it out in the Azara. So Gemara there talks a little bit about Hilchos Shabbos, about Malabein on Shabbos. So Gemara says, if it's a garment that's made from material, cloth material, so Shriyoso Zohi Kibuso. If I have, let's say, the dirty diaper, and on Shabbos, I'm not going to wash the diaper, but I don't want the dirt to get ingrained, so it's going to be very difficult to wash it after Shabbos is over. So I just want to soak it meanwhile in a container full of water. Gemara says, no, that's already a violation of kibus. Shaviyasa zehu kibusa. Then the Gemara says, Shaviyasa zehu kibusa only applies if it's a cloth garment. What if it's leather shoes? So leather, it's only called, there is a malach of malabein on leather. There is kibus on leather, but only if you rub it. If you don't rub it, you just soak in the water. You don't apply Shaviyasa zehu kibusa. So that's why some of the dinim of malabein appear in Masechet Zvachim. What's the connection? Because of Perek Dam Chatos, the Gemara there talks about Dam Chata Shinita Zalabeg, that you have to wash it out. The Chabes B'Makom Kodesh, you have to wash it out in the Azor. Yeah, this din of malabein only applies. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rama has. Let's say I have a feather on my jacket. So the feather is not ingrained in the jacket. If I'll bang on the back of the, on the inside of the jacket like this, the feather will fall off. So that's a raya, that's an indication that the feather is not really absorbed inside the jacket, it's just sitting on the surface. So then if you can do it like this and the feather will fall off, that's not a violation of malabein because it wasn't absorbed in the first place. But let's say a person is wearing a felt hat and someone pours a whole sack of flour on him, and the flour, tiny, tiny particles of flour, and the tiny particle of flour get caught in the felt of the hat. So even if you take the hat and you're going to knock it from the inside, you won't be able to shake off. Some of the flour will fall off, but a lot of it will not fall off. So even though you're not using any water, or let's say you have the dust, I have a black hat and it has a lot of dust in it. So if there's so much dust or so much flour fell on the hat that the person would be embarrassed to walk in the street like that because it looks so awful, so then even just to use a hat brush or to use your hands, and to get off all of the flour, all the dust, that'll be a violation of malabin, even though you're not using any water. That'll also be a violation of malabin. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz has in one of his drush svarim, that's called Yaris Dvash, the Mishnah Berurah refers you to this drush by Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in the Bir Halacha. So in the Yaris Dvash, he says that the practice that many religious Jews have to insist on wearing a black hat on Shabbos, it comes from the Yetzer Hara. Because what happens is, there isn't enough room to put all the hats. So some of the hats are going to fall on the floor. They're going to get all dusty. And then they're going to start rubbing off the dust because they're embarrassed to walk around with a dirty hat. But they don't realize that that's a malacha malabin because the hat became so dusty when it falls on the floor. So you'd be embarrassed to walk like that. So he said, this insistence, this bug in your head that you want to wear dafka, a black hat, is atzas hayetzer, the Yetzer Hara Tanger that mentioned that they should covet Shabbos to wear a black hat. He recommended you shouldn't wear a black hat. It's just going to lead to averus. Yeah, Tosfos discusses if clothing was soaking in water, then you got to squeeze out the water. So sometimes it'll be a violation of dosh. We said that squeezing out zeisim anovim, schita zeisim anovim is a melacha deraisa. It's a toldav dosh. Toldav dosh. What is dosh? Dosh is you detached the oichel from the psolas. You have, when it grows from the ground, you have oichel and psolas that are attached together. So when you detach them, that's a malacha of dosh. So not only is that a malacha if it's oichel with psolas attached, what if you have oichel with mashke attached? I have grapes or I have olives and I squeeze out the juice. If I take a chal and I cut it in half, so the Gemara says that's uchla de'ifras. That's oichel shenifrad me'oichel. You don't say, I'm separating one slice of challah from the other slice. It's all challah, it's all minecher, it's all the same thing. But if you have oichel and psoilus attached, or you have oichel and mashke attached, and you separate it, so that's a told of the dosh, that's a violation of dish. So sometimes squeezing out the juice constitutes a violation of dish. And sometimes squeezing out, if you have a shmata, that has a lot of liquid in it. So sometimes squeezing out the liquid will be a violation of disha. And sometimes squeezing the liquid out will be a violation of malabin. So Tosfos discusses when is it malabin and when is it disha. So they say it depends. It depends what you have. Let's say, we say, shviyasa zehu kibusai. If I have a dirty diaper and I soak it in water, that's the tchilas that's going to help that the dirt shouldn't get ingrained too deeply in the beged. So that's the haschala of cleaning the beged. Even though you didn't do the gemar, the haschala is already a malocha deraisa. That shriyasa zel kibusa is a malocha. But what if I'm, instead of soaking it in water, I'm going to soak it in purple wine or in red wine? So the fakir, so it's going to stain the garment. It's going to stain the diaper. It's not gonna, you can't say shriyas is al kibusai in such a case. So Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos discusses when is squeezing out the shmata that has the, let's say the shmata absorbed a lot of wine, and then I'm going to squeeze it and I'm going to drink the wine. So that's not malabin, you're not making the shmata cleaner by soaking it in the wine. That's a malocha of disha. That's a told of disha because you want to use it. So Tosfos discusses when is it a malocha tzricha legufa, only if he's kind of planning to drink the juice that's going to come out. He's not going to drink it. It's not a malocha tzricha legufa. And malabin depends whether he wants to make clean the garment. Tosfos has the famous kasha that if you say shviyasa zehu kibusai, so let's say a person washed until he said daim on Shabbos, he wakes up, he washes his hands, whatever, and then he dries his hands on a towel. So he's causing water on his hands to be absorbed into the towel. So you're not allowed to dry your hands on a towel on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should shake off as much water as possible before, on the weekdays, you can take your hands that are sopping wet after you took a shower, you took a bath, or you washed your hands. You can take a sopping wet body and dry it in a towel. On Shabbos, you should try to wait for a few seconds until as much water can be shaken off, and then you dry your hands off in order not to violate Shriyasa Zalkibusa. But that doesn't really solve the problem. There's still going to be a little water, so it's still going to be an issue of Shriyasa Zalkibusa. So that's what Tosfos answers. You can't say shviyasa zehu kibusai when you dry your hands so you never have to wash a towel. The towels keep on getting cleaner and cleaner. So how come people ever wash towels? The answer is, it's derech lichloch. You took a shower, you took a bath, or you washed your hands, and then there's still a little grease on your fingers, and then when you dry your hands off on the towel, the last bit of grease that you're going to get rid of Some of the grease you get rid of by washing it with the water, and the rest of the grease you get rid of by wiping your hands into the towel. So you're malachlech the towel. You're putting some of the dirt into the towel. So you can't say over there, Shaviyasa Zel Kibusai. Otherwise, no one would ever wash any towels. The towels would just keep on getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. So that's not the case. We know that that's a derech. That's derech litloch, and certainly that's not, you don't say Shaviyasa Zel Kibusai in such a situation. Yeah. What about squeezing out the hair? What about squeezing out the hair? Do you say the water is absorbed in the hair and then you squeeze out the hair? So that'll be a malacha of dosh. Will that be a malacha of tolda the dosh? So the Gemara, there's a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos. There's a yoledes is sometimes considered a choyla. So let's say someone doesn't feel well, they need shemen. So we would never do this today. We have different hygienic rules. But in the days of the Mishnah, if you need shemen, and the shemen is in one house, and the patient is in a different house, and there's no Erev, you can't carry from one house to the other. So what can you do? So the Mishnah says, they pour the shemen into a woman's hair. Women have a lot of hair. You pour the shemen into someone's hair. She walks from one house to the other. Then you squeeze out all the shemen from the hair in the second house, and then you use it on the sick patient, on the wounds. So we would never do such a thing. It doesn't seem to be too hygienic. But that's what the Mishnah recommends. So the Gemara says, what do you mean by this squeezing out the hair? So why isn't that a violation of schita, told the dosh? So the Gemara says, ain't schita b'seir. There's no violation of schita b'seir. Why? Because schita, it's only called disha if the ochel and the psoldos are connected, if the ochel and the mashka are connected. That's the way the grapes grow. They have the grape juice inside. Or the ochel and the mashke, or the ochel and the psoldos grows from the ground like that. But over here, the oil, the shemen that got absorbed in the hair, or the water, whatever it is, that the person took washed his head, and then he's going to squeeze out all the water. So you can't really say that the water is absorbed in the hair, that the two are connected together. They're not connected. It's just the water is trapped over there. So that's what the Gemara says, ain't schita b'seir. So on that Gemara, there's a machlokes harishonim, I think Rashi and the Rambam, ain't schita b'seir means at all, there's no schita b'seir, it's heter gomer, you're allowed to squeeze out the water. Well, no, we assume that there's an isa derabbanan. If someone is a chaylan, they need oil, the doctor says you need shemen, so then and the shemen is in a different house, and you have to carry it, and it's not a chaylan mesukan, so you're not allowed to carry it, so you do this eitzah. So you'll only be in violation of an Issa Derabbanan, that woman is a Chodesh Eim B'Sakana, so you matter that Issa Derabbanan. But otherwise you say that there's this Ein Schita B'Seyam in HaTorah, but with Rabbanan, it is a Tolda D'Dosh, there is Schita B'Seyam. So based on that Gemara, that we're Machmer, Ein Schita B'Seyam in HaTorah, but with Rabbanan, there is an Issa Schita. So what about if you have a toothbrush and you hold the bristles of the toothbrush under the faucet and you get it absorbs a lot of water and then you take the toothbrush and you brush the teeth and the water, you're going to be squeezing out the water from the bristles in the toothbrush. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer that he thinks that should be an Issa like Schita B'Seir. The bristles also, they don't really absorb the water. The water is trapped over there. So the same machlekes, Rashi and the Rambam, by the hair, will apply over here and practices that we're machma, we're careful not to squeeze out the hair. But the same should apply over here. We should be careful not to hold the bristles of the toothbrush under the faucet and then brush your teeth afterwards, because then you're going to be in violation of schita b'seir. So Leitchik thought that it wasn't correct. He thought that that the bristles are plastic, and he thought it's even less than the hair. The hair, at least the water is trapped, in the hair, so that looks a little bit like schita. He thought that the bristles of the toothbrush is even less than that, and that shouldn't be, that the lecholades, that should be mutter. He thought it wasn't the problem. Baron Soloveitchik, I think, was machmer like Moshe Feinstein, but Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, he thought that the bristles of the toothbrush, that's l'chol ha'deis, that should be mutam. The Ramosha in the same tshuva also talks about using toothpaste. He thinks that you're not permitted to use toothpaste to brush your teeth. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik never read the tshuva. They just told him baal peh. So he thought that Rav Moshe held that the Isser is because of Memachik. Memachik is, that's a later malacha we didn't get to yet. Memachik is, let's say, the original Memachik is Shochet. You shecht an animal, and then you remove the skin, the hide from the animal, and then the hide has a lot of hair on it. So when you remove, when you scrape off all of the hair, you make it a smooth surface by removing all of the hair. Ahu adinami atolda of memachik, that's the original memachik. Atolda memachik would be, you have a piece of lumber, you have a piece of wood that's very rough, and you sandpaper it down and you make it smooth on the surface. So that's an isur memachik. So the question is, so why isn't washing the dishes? If the dishes are full of grease that's stuck on the surface, then you wash off the grease. So the Gemara says, you're permitted to wash off the dishes. It's also memachik. Before it wasn't smooth, and now it's a smooth surface. So the answer is, the Mefarshim explained, by the dishes, all the stuff is on the surface. Memachik is only because the hair is attached to the hide. So it's rough, and you remove, by removing the hair, you make a new smooth surface that wasn't smooth before. So you're removing part of the surface to make it smooth. You sandpaper down the wooden piece of wood. The wood was not smooth originally. It had the rough parts to it. And you remove part of the wood, and you make it smooth. So that's memachik. But over here, Rav Soloveitchik argued, if you're going to remove part of the enamel every time you're going to brush your teeth, so the teeth should disappear. After you brush your teeth 100 times or 1,000 times, the teeth should disappear. So I think the dentist doctors say that every time you brush your teeth, some of the enamel does disappear. But it's such a mashuhu de mashuhu that it's not even noticeable. So that's not a malacha. It's so insignificant that it doesn't even register. So that's not a malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, he didn't understand how Rav Moshe say that it's an iser. What was the iser? He thought Rav Moshe meant the machek. How can it be? So you brush your teeth 1,000 times, so that the enamel should disappear. The teeth should disappear. They don't disappear. So that's not the machek. It should be like washing dishes. So they told Rav Soloveitchik, no, the Rav Moshe asa is not because of memachik, but rather because of nimareach. Let's say I have shoes that are all scuffed up. The leather is not smooth because I rubbed the shoes against each other. They're all rubbed out. So I put on shoe polish on top of the shoe. I make a new smooth, I had a rough surface, I make a new smooth surface by adding something on. So if the surface was rough, let's say the piece of lumber or the hide, and you make it smooth by removing something that's part of it, that's memachek. If you have a rough surface and make it smooth by adding polish or by adding, let's say, the floor, you have a linoleum floor, and you pour on, wax on the floor. So by adding the wax, they make the rough surface smooth. So that's mimareach is a tolda de memachik. That's mimareach is a tolda memachik. When you put on, let's say you have a piece of bread and you smear on butter or something like that, so that should really be memachik. You have a rough surface, the piece of bread, and you make it into a smooth surface by adding butter. So that the Rishonim say, "Ein mimareach ba'ochlin." There's no issa mimareach ba'ochlin. But if it wouldn't be ochlin, let's say on the teeth, it's not ochlin. So if you're going to brush your teeth with toothpaste, so that's what Rav Moshe meant. He didn't mean that it's memachek. You don't take off part of the enamel, but he understood that it's memarech. He's spreading the toothpaste evenly. Rav Soloveitchik thought, "What do you mean? But you spread it evenly just for a second, and you keep on brushing, and all of the toothpaste disappears. You're going to rinse your mouth out. Even if you don't rinse your mouth out, it's not going to last so long. It's not at all shel kayama. To do a malach on Shabbat, it has to be shel kayama. If it's a little bit shel kayama, it's awesome at the Rabban. If it's, that's what Rav Moshe extrapolates by kesher. To make a kesher shel kayama, that's a malach of the rice. Mesh kesher she'en a shel kayama, that's an isa de Rabban. If it's aroi daroi, if it's legame aroi, then it's hetagoma. So Rav Soloveitchik taught this mamish haroi daroi. You brush the toothpaste for a second or two, it's going to be evenly distributed on the teeth, then it's going to go off. So how is that a malach on Shabbos? So they told Rav Soloveitchik, no. When they advertise over the radio, they say when you use this marvelous, miraculous toothpaste, it'll leave an invisible protective coating around the teeth. So Rav Soloveitchik, so that's what Rav Moshe held, that's awesome. That is Shal Kayama. It leaves an invisible protective coating on teeth. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you believe that? That's an advertisement. But that's not true. And he says, and even if it were true, that it's invisible. There's no malacha if it's invisible. How can you have a malacha if something is invisible? So he thought that he didn't agree with either of the two chumras of Rav Moshe. He didn't agree about the toothpaste. He thought that it's not true that it leaves an invisible protective coating. And even if it were true, it's invisible. He thought that it's mut. And he didn't think, even though we machmer that ein schita b'seyer min ha-Torah, but with the Rabbanon, there is schita b'seyer. But he thought that the bristles of the toothbrush are even less than that, that should really be muta l'chaladeus. He thought that they both should be l'hokel.
Rav Schechter, so oil is not a malbush. How is it permissible for a woman to put oil in her hair and then carry it somewhere else and squeeze it out? Isn't carrying a problem?
Carrying, it's probably kalachayat. She's some kind of, you need it for another woman who's some kind of a choyla. I think the Mishnah is talking about yoledes. So we are matter a lot of the rabbanon. Certainly it's like tzor kalachayat. That's not the normal way to carry oil. Normal way, I would take the bottle of oil and carry it from one place to the other. I put it in my hair, I have it absorbed in the hair, and then I squeeze it out in the other place. So that's kalachayat. So kalachayat is only the rabbanon. And the schita b'seir is only made the rabbanon. So the rabbanon is a mutter in a case of a choli, I guess. In case of a choli. I think that's what the story is there. You're right. The oil that you put in the hair is not derech malbush at all.
What's it? A woman coming out of the mikvah? Can she squeeze her hair out?
No, we don't allow squeezing out the hair. We're machmer that the schita b'seir midi rabbanon.
That's derech hamashke. Why didn't I go? I wash from the gufam. I want to get the water out. I don't want the water. I'm throwing it away. It's not derech hamashke. I want to wash from the gufam.
I don't know.
Why machmer?
An interesting question. I don't know. Kvashim, shesachtam legushan legufan, just to say over the question that he's asking, if you have pickles in a pickle jar and you take it out, and I don't like soggy pickles, so I want to squeeze out the juice from the pickles. So if I squeeze out the juice, I have a brother-in-law who likes pickle juice. So if I squeeze out the pickle juice because my brother-in-law wants to drink the pickle juice, that's kvashim shesachtam the mayhem. So that's also at least midirabbanah. It may be that it's not awesome in Atar because the cucumbers didn't grow like that from the ground. So the water that's absorbed in the cucumbers, that's artificially connected. Didn't grow naturally like that. The Gemara talks about Disha, Oichel, separating the Oichel from the Psovus. It grew like that from the ground. And squeezing out the juice from the Zesim Anodim, it grows from the ground. The two are connected. But if you have pickles that are soaking in water, then you squeeze out the water. It didn't grow like that. It's not a natural connection. So Taisa thinks that that's why it's not an Issa deraisa. But if you squeeze it out in order to drink the juice, that's awesome. That's an Issa. But if you squeeze it out, it's only an Issa derabbanan to begin with because it doesn't grow like that. And then if you squeeze it out, Tvashim Shesachtan Lagufan, I want to eat. On Yontif, there's a hat to Echel Nefesh. On Shabbos, there's no hat to Echel Nefesh, but Echel Nefesh sometimes plays a little role if you're dealing with Dinam Derabbanan. So over here, I think the whole Issa to begin with, Tais says only with Derabbanan, because the pickle juice is not naturally connected with the pickles. You put it in, it's artificially connected. You were soaking in the pickles there for a couple of weeks. So to squeeze out the juice from the pickles, crush them. Kvashim are the pickles that are soaking. Shesachtan legufan. I don't like soggy pickles. I enjoy them when they're drier. So that's mutter even in the rabbanon. Kvashim shesachtan legufan because it's going to taste better. Over here, the woman doesn't want to have so much water in her hair. You can't say that she's there's no idea by chamefesh over here. I think that heter is sometimes the Elchanan Abish does play a role on the Rabbanans on Shabbos. On the level of the Raisa, it's not a Heter, it's only a Heter on Yom Tov. But on the level of the Rabbanan, it does play a role to be Matar a little bit.
The mind is Hagach Leibur. I don't want the mind.
Okay, so therefore what? So it's Psegresha de la Nichale is a Machlekes Tesis New York. But this is not a Psegresha, this is a Dobah Hamaskavan. I'm squeezing out the water.
That's not
Disha. I don't know about that. If you don't eat the mashke, so it's a malacha shen tzvicha legufa. You're doing Disha med the Rabbanan. It's not Disha med the Torah because it's not naturally connected. But it's Disha med the Rabbanan, according to some Rishonim, to squeeze out the water from the hair. Machleg is the Rama Merashi. So if you're not going to use the water that you're going to squeeze out, that's going to be a malacha shen tzvicha legufa. In the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he quotes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a chiddush, but it's a little bit shaky. He thought, if you squeeze out mashka bola toichel domi, let's say I'm going to squeeze out lemon, to squeeze out the lemon juice, that's a disha, told the disha, to squeeze out the lemon juice on top of a piece of fish. The lemon juice enhances the taste of the fish. Or you're putting squeezed out lemon juice on top of some kind of other oichel, and it's mishamish the oichel. So the kolzman that lemon juice is still in the lemon is dinik oichel, and if you're squeezing it out in order that it should fall into another oichel, it never becomes a mashka in the first place. That's what the Gemara calls a loshen mashka balatel oichel kaoichel dami. The Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggested that maybe if a person took a shower on Shabbat, a cold shower. We say you're not allowed to take a hot shower, that's because there is habalonim, but a cold shower, let's say. So then the person wants to dry himself. So if he takes the towel and he squeezes his hair directly into the towel, so it's the iser is because it looks like a disha, yesh schita b'seir midirabbanan, but if the disha is going to be absorbed into the towel right away, if I squeeze the water out and it falls into the bathtub, into the shower stall, so that's schita v'seir. But if I don't squeeze it and have it fall out into the shower stall, I squeeze it into the towel, so maybe I should say mashka bola toichel domi, or mashka bola toich cloth is not dino kemashka, so maybe that should be mutter. That's an ein fall of a chiddush. It's shaky, because the whole idea was because kol zman the juice is inside. Let's say you want to milk a cow. So the cow is oichel, and the milk is mashke. But if you have challah in the bottom of the bucket, and you're going to milk the cow, the milk is going to fall into, going to get absorbed into the challah. I have some other oichel there. So I say, right now, the challah in the cow is not yet mashke. It's inside the animal. The animal is an oichel. In the weekdays, you can shecht it and eat it. And then it's going to get absorbed into the challah. So now it's an oichel, and it's on its way to fall into another oichel. It's going to be labeled as an oichel. So it never gets the shein mashke to begin with. But yeah, but over here, when you took the shower, or when you washed whatever it was over here, you washed your hair, you're soaking your head in water on Shabbos. So the water was water to begin with. So now, because it's going to get absorbed in the towel, so it never gets the shein mashke. No, it was water before you started. It's not the same as the other case, that kolzman, the juice is, the grape juice is still in the grape, is dinik oichel, and if you're going to squeeze out the grapes on top of an oichel, you're going to squeeze out the lemon on top of the fish, when it's going to fall into the fish, it's going to be dinik oichel. So in between, it's flying in the air for a few seconds from the lemon into the fish, it never gets a shein mashke in the first place. But have you ever had a shein mashke before you even started? It was water before you stoked your hair in the water. So it's a little, it's a shaky cooler. Shaky cooler. So that's a little bit about Malabin. We spoke a little bit about Malabin, okay? Then you have, as I mentioned, Gozes and Malabin. Then you have a whole bunch of Malochas that have to do with Menapates. Menapates is when you take the wool, the raw wool, after you wash it out, after you do the malabane, or when you take the raw flax that grows on a bush. So you have to comb it out to soften it, and then you have to do later, You have to do tova. You have to make it into strings. You have to make it into threads. And then you take the threads, you have a walk and, warp and a woof. And then you make crisscross and you make a beged that's ariga. Fine. So these are all the malachas of making begodim. Let's say when you tie on tzitzis on a beged, when we learned el chasitzis, when you tie on tzitzis onto a beged, so there's a machloikis, tesis, and the Rambam, is there a requirement that tying the tzitzis has to be lishma? So Tosis' opinion is yes. You have to tie the chutim onto the beged lishma. And if and then the Tosis has a chiddush, that since women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis, because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, so whoever is any b'toris, any given mitzvah, cannot create lishma. So a woman is possible to tie the chutim on tzitzis on a beged. Or cotton, let's say. A cotton alpidin is a lab bardas, even if he's genius like the Vilna Gaon, but alpidin is considered a lab bardas. So one is a lab bardas is unable to create lishma. But let's say a cotton, when I was a little boy, way before by bar mitzvah, my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. I used to daven in the Young Israel of Tremont in the Bronx, and my grandfather didn't know that that's an asik. So he taught me how to tie tzitzis. I used to tie the tzitzis on all of the talesim. So it says the Shulchan Aruch that you really shouldn't do that, because according to Tosfos, tying the chutim, chute atzitz on the beged need kshira lishma. And a cotton is a lab bardas, even if you forget about the cotton not being a lab bardas, he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah. Whoever is anyone, even women are bardas, but the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah or tzitzah, so they're abin tam. And Tosfos holds that since women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah, the ain of the Torah's mitzvah of tzitzah. Whoever is ain of the Torah's can't create lishma. Let's say shmura matzah, you have to bake it lishma. So we don't allow ktanim to do any activity at all in the baking of the matzahs to the shmura matzah, because the cotton is, two things, cotton is a lab bardas, he can't create lishma, can't write a get lishma. And number two, even if he would be considered a bardas, but he's not b'chayv in a mitzvah, whoever's ain't a mitzvah can't create lishma. Yeah. When Rab Chaim Kanievsky was a young boy, he was a nephew, the one who just passed away, he was a nephew of the Chazon Ish. So he was picking up things as a little child. He was picking up things from his uncle from the Chazon Ish. So when they went to bake the matzahs, he was before Bar Mitzvah. He went with his uncle, with his father, he went to bake the matzahs. So wouldn't let him do anything, but he, as a child, he wanted to participate. So they told him he should scream out the Shem Mitzvah's matzah. That's all they allowed him to do. They didn't allow him to pour any water, to do anything. The only thing he could do was to scream out, everybody should have in mind the Shem Mitzvah's matzah. Because that you don't need. No one, everybody has that in mind anyway. You don't have to make the announcement. Yeah. So that's a machlekes Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam holds there is no such din, that you have to tie the chutim on the beged lishma. And Tosfos holds, no, about it there is a din. Where does the machlekes come from? So the Gemara says that the tviya, it's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, when you take the wool, let's say you're making string from wool, or from flax, whichever it is. So the tviya, when you, that's one of the malachas here. Ateva is malacha number 16. So when you do tviya, when you take the wool and you convert it into strings, that's a machlekes Rav Shmuel, and we pass from that you do need lishma. So Tosfos interprets, what do you need lishma? Because tying it onto the beged needs lishma. Asiyas hatzitzis. Needs a shma. So yes, hatzitzis when you tie it onto the beged. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So one opinion is that's all. Shank it up. When you tie it on the beged, you need lishma. But you should need lishma when you convert the thread, when you convert the wool into strings. That's not asiyas hatzitzis. And we paskin know. You even go back. Not only tying it onto the beged needs asiyas lishma according to Tosfos. You even say that the tviya, they're making it into string, also have to be lishma. So in Shulchan Aruch there's in Hilchas Tzitzis, there's a machlekes. What about menapets? After you do gozes, after you shear off the wool from the animal, you can't say that gozes is an act of asiyas hatzitzis. You're just detaching the wool from the animal. But what you do after gozes is menapets. You have to comb out the wool in order to be able to do tviya, in order to be able to make it into strings. So the menapets is the first step and making it into string, which is the next, and the next step is going to be to tie the string onto the beged. So there is an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that since we pass them that you need tviya lishma to take the wool to make it into string, has to be lishma. So you need niputz lishma also. Most don't hold like that. But if you're prepared to spend another $15, so they'll sell you special strings that had a niputz lishma. Not only had a tefil lishma, had a niputz lishma. I wouldn't recommend it. I once bought, it cost me a lot of money, I bought the strings that Maisayad, not done by machine, done by hand, everything, that had the niputz lishma, and they ripped within a week. They all ripped. It's a very weak, it was very poorly done. So it's not worth the money if it's going to get ripped. Maybe by now they already improved the system. Anyway, so that's Menapetz is a step before Tviya. Menapetz is a step before Tviya. That's the next malacha after Menapetz in the making of the Beged is the Tviya. The Tviya Lishma, that's a Machlekes Rav Shmuel, and we pass Neiduni Tviya Lishma. And there's a minority, should be a minority opinion that you even need the niput should be done lishma. Yeah. Then the next malach on the list is tzoveya. So tzoveya, what exactly is tzoveya? So let's say I have wool. Wool is no color. Has no color. I want to make a sweater, a woolen sweater. So I want to have a gray or blue or red or green, whatever color you want to have. So you dye the beged green or gray or whatever color. That's a malach of tzoveya. What if I mix chemicals into water and I prepare the dye? So the water originally was colorless, was clear water, and then by mixing in the chemicals, the whole vat of water, the whole container of water now has that color. And then I'm going to use this dye in order to dye garments later on. So that's a machlekes, the Ravid and the Rambam. So the Ravid says you didn't finish the tzviya yet. You just made a container full of dyed water, which you're going to use later to be tzviya the beggar. So that's only midirabbanim. That's part of the Rabbalosa. That's only midirabbanim. The Rambam and others seem to know that that's malacha deraisa. You're dyeing the water. That's already a malacha deraisa. Unless, let's say, not that they're dyeing the water in order to use that dyed water to dye garments. The practice used to be years ago, they still have it in a lot of stores. If you have a drugstore, so usually it says in the front pharmacy. And at a lot of places, they didn't have a sign that says pharmacy. So how do you know that it's a drugstore? So they would have a glass container in the window, and they would put in water that was dyed blue. That water that was dyed blue, they're not going to use that water to dye some garments blue. That is the end. They wanted to dye the water blue. So they already did. They did survey on the water. That's the end of the story. So even the Ravid would agree. That's what the Kalkelis HaShabbos writes. So even the Ravid would agree that dyeing the water blue and you want to put it in the window of the store, everyone should know that this is a pharmacy. So that even the rabbi would agree that that's a malacha of tzoveya. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, let's say my finger is bleeding, so I take a napkin, a white napkin, and I hold it on the finger that it should stop bleeding. So I'm tzoveya the napkin. Or let's say a person eats some food on Shabbos, and he has schmaltz from the kugel, or he has flesh, he has dye around his mouth. So then when he doesn't want to walk around like that, so he takes a paper napkin and he wipes off his face, wipes off his lips, and is going to cause tzoveya on the paper napkin. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not allowed to, that that's a malacha of tzoveya. The Mishnah Berurah says that most of the achronim are mekel on that. Everybody uses, if you're bleeding, so everybody uses a napkin or a tissue to help stop the bleeding. And even though the tissue of the napkin is going to turn red, so the achronim all say that that's derech lichluch. That's not called tzoveya. That's the malachlech, the tissue or the napkin. So we assume that there's no issue at all. Or let's say a woman is making bedikas. She has to make a hepsik tara, so she knows that there's a very strong chance that it may become stained with the dam. So we say that's derech lichluch. That's not a nisar of tzoveya. What if you prepare, let's say, a cup of tea So you have burning hot water, then you put in a tea bag. So we discussed a little bit bishul on the tea bag, even though the tea leaves are not edible, but the Gemara is beferish. One person wrote in a sefer, he doesn't understand what the Rabbanim are talking about bishul on tea leaves. Nobody eats tea leaves. The answer is, the Gemara said beferish. Bishul applies to tar, it applies to wooden pegs, it applies to non-oichal items as well. So there is an issue of bishul. The only thing is that bishul means you made something soft by applying heat. Do the tea leaves become softer because you applied heat? If you would soak them in cold water, they'll also become soft. Does it become so much softer because it's hot water? I'm not sure. I don't know. So that's a question. Maybe you're not accomplishing bishul on the tea leaves. A different thing. Not because it's inedible, but because it doesn't really become soft because of the heat. But the shayla is, what about tzviya? So the Rishonim all say, the Shulchan Aruch says, ain't tzviya ba'ichlan. And they quote the Mishnah, you're permitted to mix in, let's say, a raw egg, or you're permitted to mix in some vegetables into another meichel, even though we know it's going to change the color. The mixture is going to change the color of the whole meichel. We say, ain't tzviya ba'ichlan. So that's a question. Ain't Sviya Ba'uchlin, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Chayyadam has, Ain't Sviya Ba'uchlin means he's putting in the tea bags, he's not interested in the color, he's interested in the flavor. It happens that the tea leaves not only give flavor, they give color, but I couldn't care less about the color. But what if the sole purpose of I just wanted to look that color. I want to mix in a certain color into the food, that it should be more appealing. Not because of the taste, it doesn't affect the taste at all, only because of the color. Is that also ain't tzviya ba'ichlan? Or let's say you have red wine and white wine. So in the Gemara there's a machlekes hatanoim and arvei psochim, can you use white wine for arvei kosis? So one tana holds that is ma'akid b'di'evid. The pasuk initially says, tere yayin ki yisadam. Shouldn't get carried away with the red color of the wine. You shouldn't fall in love with the wine. So you see from the pasuk that red wine is considered muvchar. The Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchas Kiddush, they quote the Ramban as of the opinion that you're not yotzei Kiddush even b'di'evid if you say Kiddush over white wine. You have to davka use red wine. So we really don't paskan like that. Well, let's say a person has white wine and red wine. He wants to always pour in a little red wine into the white wine that it should become red. He wants to check. His interest is not in blending the flavors. He couldn't care less. He's not an expert on the flavors. He knows you got to have wine, so he drinks the wine. And one is sweet, one is a dry wine. He doesn't know. He's not garbage the whole thing. He just wants to make the white wine that it should be red. So the Chayyadim says, maybe there is Tzviya Baruchim, because he's interested in the color. Yeah, where did he get this from? From the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Shechet, what malacha are you violating when you shech the behema? So you're certainly violating shochet, hilas neshama, you're killing the animal. But in addition to that, are you in violation of another malacha? So one Amar in the Amar says, yeah, you're in violation of tzorveya. What do you mean tzorveya? Who's interested in what's a malacha? Tzvicha legufa? Who happens? A lot of blood is going to gush out. So the piece of flesh is going to be all sopping with blood. So the Gemara says, no, it's a melacha tzvicha legufa, because the butcher wants everybody to see that it's freshly geshochten a behemah, that it's full of blood. So you see that there's tzviya ba'ichlan. So how can the Rishonim say that ain't tzviya ba'ichlan? It's against the Mishnah, against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Sheikh Mishamai Masrim Bey, what melacha is he in violation of? Because he's interested, he wants the Beis HaShechita should get the red, that all the customers will realize that it's freshly geshacht in the flesh, it's not from last week. So you see that there is Tzviya Baruchlin. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim and wants to say, there's Tzviya Baruchlin. Ain't Tzviya Baruchlin is if you mixed in the food into the other food, the shame tavlin. I mixed it in because I want to blend the flavors. But if I mixed it in order that it should have that color, I want it to have a certain color, then it's yesh tzviya ba'ichlan. Then you would say yesh tzviya ba'ichlan. Or let's say this case that we said, they're going to dye the water blue to put it in the window in the drugstore. Everyone should know it's a pharmacy, even though water is ichlan. But over here, no one's going to drink that water. You're not using the water b'tarasecha, you're using the water b'taras advertisement. That's the minig. to advertise that this is a pharmacy. So he put the glass container with water dyed blue in the window. Everyone should know that it's a drugstore. So that's not called Ein Zvir Beichlin. That's not a Meichel. You don't intend to use it as a Meichel. So that there will be Tzaveya. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah quotes up Yankif M, then takes on all the Rishayim. He's not afraid to disagree with all the Rishayim. And he thinks that Yesh Tzvir Beichlin. So we really don't hold like that. But the Mishnah Berurah recommends, if you're preparing tea on Shabbos, let's say, so you have scents that was prepared before Shabbos, let's say, very very strong scents, and then you have water, hot water. So you have hot water on the blech, and you have the scents on the blech. So usually you pour in the water in the cup first, and the cup is now the water in the cup is a cliche. And then you pour in the scents on top of it. And the scents is also burning hot, so you pour in the scents afterwards, and you pour in exactly how much do you think you're going to need. So Rabbi Yankif, so the Mishnah Berurah recommends you should be choshish Rabbi Yankif Emden Tzchumra, even though he's in disagreement with all the Rishayim. They all assume Ein Tzvir Beichlin. So he's in disagreement, so he says you should first pour in the scents, then pour in the water. So it's kalach hayad, because the normal way to do it would be first to have the water and then to pour the scents in. So if you have the burning hot scents, you pour in the cup first, then you pour the hot water on top of the scents, that's already a shinui. So you knocked it down to a derabbanan, so then there's more room to rely on the rishayim that ain't svir baruchim. Okay, ain't svir baruchim. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, how can you be misalik that raya? How can you say how can you say ain't svir baruchim? The Gemara said, shochem mishumai masvinim bay. If someone shechts on Shabbos, what malacha is he in violation of in addition to shochet, tilis neshama? Umar says, one Amar says, tzoveya. So don't you see that yesh tzviya b'ichlin? So the Bir Halacha writes, he discovered in the Or Zeruah, and not Gemara, whoever looks in the Or Zeruah. The Shulchan Aruch, always every other page, they quote the Or Zeruah. So it's kedai to look. At least when it's quoted, you should certainly look it up. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he looked in the Or Zeruah, not Gemara. The Or Zeruah says that it's not, it's nichalei, the Gemara says it's nichalei, he wants the whole Beis HaShechita, the neck, to be all ungeschmiert with dam, so everyone will see that it's freshly geschochten today, on Shabbos. So what do you mean he wants the Beis HaShechita to be all ungeschmiert with fresh blood? So Pashup Shat is the flesh in the Beis HaShechita. So the Or Zeruah says he wants the hide on the neck to be ungeschmiert with dam. So that's not Tzvir Beichlin. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Be'al Locha, maybe that's the way we misalik the Rai. Maybe that's the way you misalik the Rai. But the push the way you misalik the Rai, don't you see the Yesh Tzvir Beichlin? They quote Yo Zeruah that the Tzvir is really on the hide, not on the neck. But even if it's on the neck, that's what the Mishnah Berurah explained also. The only time the Rishayim said Ein Tzvir Beichlin is if you're pouring in one Meichel into another one for the purposes of flavor. But if you put it in for the purpose of the color, so then there's room to say Yesh Tzvir Beichlin. Ein Tzvir Beichlin, you're putting it in L'shem Tam. L'tavlin. It's Tavlin. Then you say Ein Tzvir Beichlin. But here you want the neck to be ungeschmiert with dam, not to enhance the flavor of the flesh. No, that all the customers will see that it's freshly geschochten flesh. So that is room to say that yesh tzvir beichlin. These are the ideas that the Mishnah Berurah raises over here. So the Shulchan Aruch has this discussion about tzvir. Talks about tzvir. And then in the same siman, they talk about people begodim. That's Gemara's about that. Where is today? I think it's in Shinchof or something. It's in Shinchof. But then they talk about people begodim. So after you wash the clothing, let's say you wash the clothing on the weekdays, that's malabin, you have dirty clothes, you wash the clothing. So then you put it in the dryer, so everything's going to be dry, and then it's going to be creased. Everything, if you're going to leave it like that for a while, you're not going to fold it up neatly, you're not going to hang up the shirts neatly, it's going to be all wrinkled and creased. So when you take out the laundry from the dryer, so the, as you take it out, you fold it up nicely and neatly. So keep a begodim in a certain sense is an iser, a shtikal iser of mesaken mana. Not really, not a mesaken mana, but a shtikal mesaken mana midrabban. It's not an iser of malabain, because the clothing is clean already. You're not making it clean. But it's a shaila from... Keep up God and Mashallah from Masak Mana. So some say it's Masak and Mana when the clothing first came out from the dryer. If you don't fold it nicely and neatly, then it's going to be wrinkled all over, and you're making it straight the first time you lay it out. The shirts and the undershirts and everything, so it won't be wrinkled. So that's in a certain sense a shtikl Masak and Mana. What if, let's say, you have a talis and the talis has creases? I'm going to fold it back on the same creases. What if you have a suit, you have trousers, and the trousers have a crease in the front and the back? Then you're going to hang it back up on the hanger, and it's going to retain the same crease. So strictly speaking, you're not creating the crease. That's not really keep up guarding. You're preserving the crease so it shouldn't get messed up. So the minig is lahachmer, the people who know the shulchan, the minig is lahachmer, but in the Shmer Shabbos Kol Chasi, he quotes some poskim and say, really, mikradin, it's really mutter. Because the Issur keep up godim only applies if you're not going to fold it up, it's going to be wrinkled. So you're causing it, you're preventing it from becoming wrinkled. So by us, let's say the talus already has a crease. So there's room to argue the point and say that there's no keep up godim. The Shulchan Aruch says it's only an Issur if you fold it the way you're supposed to fold it. If you fold it against the creases, So then you're not misak mana. Then you're gonna make it the wrinkled. So that's what most people do. Instead of folding up the talus the way you're supposed to and putting it away in the talus echo, so you roll it up against the creases. That's how the mechaber recommend. But that's really a chumer, because mikra then it really should be mutasar. So they used to say the chumer is that it's an iser of hachana. It's an Isra of Hachana. I'm folding up the talus for next Shabbos. So on Yom Kippur, when he would take off his talus, Leil Yom Kippur, his practice would be he would fold it up. He would always explain to the people next to him why he's doing things. He would always be explaining everything. So he would explain, he's folding up the talus tonight on Yom Kippur because he's going to wear it tomorrow. And a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, he doesn't fold it up because he's not going to wear it till the next day. So you're not allowed to be mechen from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mechen from the first day Yontif to the second day Yontif. Then when the boys showed Rav Soloveitchik, there's a Pirush HaBein HaChananel in the middle of Masech Shabbos, pinted at the side of the Vilna Shas, where he talks about Hachona from one Shabbos to the next. He writes that it's Mutter. Rav Soloveitchik was very surprised by that. He thought for sure that it's Osir. Hachona Mishabbos L'chol is Osir. Hachona for Yontif Rishon to Yontif Sheni is Osir. So Rav Soloveitchik thought Hachona from Shabbos Parshas Tzav to Shabbos Parshas Shmini is also Osir. So they showed him, Rabbeinu Hanan says, Beferish Mutter. It's a discussion in the recent Poskim. In the last 100 years, after the Vilna Shas printed the Rabbeinu Hanan on the side of the Gemara, so the recent Poskim have a discussion, do we accept that Rabbeinu Hanan or not? So Reisha is very surprised by that. He thought that it wasn't correct. Okay, we're in the middle of Toveya and Kippur Begodim. Okay, Lina, next week we'll have to continue. Maybe I'll just say a short tratura on the Parsha from Dr. Lamb. Dr. Lamb once said over, Dr. Lamb, Zechon Lebracha, was a marvelous darshan. So he once said over, a Yalkut Reuveni. The Yalkut Shemayni, we know, has a Likut of the Gemaris and Yerushalmis and Midrashim. Yalkut Reuveni is all Midrashi Pliya, all Mechudish Dikta thing, wild ideas. So there's, in today's Sedrim, Parshishmini, it says, how do you determine whether any given animal is kosher or not kosher, beima v'chaya. So it depends if it's malagir, mafis parsa, then it's kosher. How do you determine whether any given fish is a kosher fish or not? If you have snapa v'kaskeses, it's mutter. How do you determine whether any given bird is a kosher bird or not? So the Chumash doesn't tell you what the simonim are. Chumash just gives you a list of the non-kosher birds. So the Gemara says anything that's not on the list is kosher. There are many more kosher birds than non-kosher birds. But the Mishnah in Chulin, the end of Perek Eletreifis, gives you the klal. What are the simonim to determine whether any given bird is kosher or treif? That's a famous sugi, the sugi of Nesher. Now, it's a recent thing because in Slabotka, they started this story, they only concentrate the Iyun on the seven Masechtas, Bavakama, Bavamitzir, Bavabasa, Kitten, the Kiddush, and Ksubas, and Yavamas. And everything else, they just learn the keys. And the Iyun is only on the seven Masechtas. Before Slabotka started this whole style, that's because I read the Mishnah says the end of Bavabasa, I wrote, so Sheyachkim, if you want to sharpen your mind, Yasik, Bedin, and Mominus, you should learn the Zikin Shelecha Mikzah Batara Gadol Mizeh. This is the most complicated. So if you'll master the Zikin, so that will sharpen your brain. The Balamor wrote, the Balamor lived in the city Lunel. Lunel means the moon. So he called the name of his commentary. He has Hasogas on the Rif. He calls it the Mor HaKotin. But on Noshim and Nezikin, he calls it the Mor HaGadol. Why? So he said, because Nezikin is the hardest section of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he says, the light of the moon is not enough to explain Noshim and Zikin. You need sunlight. So he calls the Sefer on the Rif, on Noshim and Zikin, calls the Mor HaGadol, is the sun. And the rest of the Balamor is called the Mor HaKotin. So there was a famous sugya before Slabotka started this whole story. So they boycotted learning so many Masechtas. In all the yeshivas, they always had to learn chulin. You have to know harashach, you have to know basa b'chol, you have to know hilchas treifas. They learned chulin in all the yeshivas. They used to learn avodah zarah, about stam yeinim, about hagol, about libun. And the Gemara in avodah zarah talks about which fish are kosher, which fish are treif. There's so much halacha lemaisim in maseches avodah zarah. So most of the yeshivas, they never learn it. So the Gemara in the Mishnah in chulin, talks about what are the simonim to determine whether any given bird is kosher or treif. So that's the famous sugya of Nesher. We usually assume Nesher is an eagle. Tosis quotes Rabbi Netam, he thinks that the word Nesher in the Chumash is not an eagle. We usually assume in Manahiba Nesher is an eagle. Anyway, there's a long balamor on Nesher, different opinions. So the Shulchan Aruch tells you how to determine whether any given bird is kosher or treif. Rashi, the Gemara tells the story that Amoraim, who lived in Bavel, came upon a new bird that they never heard of before, they never saw before, and had all the simonim, so they started eating it. They shechted it and they ate it. And after a while, they realized that they misjudged, they miscalculated, they made a mistake. It was not a kosher bird. It didn't have all the simonim that it's supposed to have. So they discontinued eating that bird. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, if the Amorai made a mistake, it's very unusual that Rashi says a comment, halacha l'maaseh. Rashi usually just gives pshat in the Gemara. But here Rashi adds on. He says, if the holy Amorai made a mistake by miscalculating and they were eating a treif of bird, thinking that it was kosher, we certainly shouldn't eat any bird unless you have a masorah. That's it. We may also miscalculate, we may misjudge, and we may be eating a non-kosher bird. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that from the Sefer Issa V'Heta Ha'oruch. There's a Sefer Issa V'Heta by the Rabbeinu Yoina. That's not the Rabbeinu Yoina. The Ramban's Mechutin, the one who wrote the Shari Tshuva, and the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina. It's a different Rabbeinu Yoina. It's Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. That's the Rabbeinu Yoina Sfar. It's a different Rabbeinu Yoina. So the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, quotes that from the Sefer Issa V'Heta Ha'orech, and it's really the Rashi, that you shouldn't eat a bird unless you have a tradition that it's kosher. The Shach writes also, the difference between a behemoth and a chaya is not so easy to determine. It depends on the shape of the horns. So, and there are differences, halacha l'maaseh. Kisi adam is only on a chaya. Behemoth doesn't have kisi adam. So if you're going to do kisi adam on a behemoth, you're going to say a bracha, it'll be a bracha levatola. Or let's say chaylev of a behemoth is an isa koris, chaylev of a chaya is mutter. The exact same chaylev. If it would be in a chaya instead of a behemoth, then it's mutter to eat it. So it's important to determine whether the animal is a behemoth or a chai. So there are more. So the Shach writes, it's not so easy to determine what's a behemoth or a chai. So you shouldn't be mekel on chaylev chaya unless you have a tradition that it's a chaya. We shouldn't judge on our own because we may not be judging correctly. The Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s, the late 1600s. He ran away from at the time of the Chmelnytsky riots. The Chalkas Mechaykik was there, many Gdolim were there. They all ran away because of the Chmelnytsky riots. So the Chayyodim, the Chachmas Adam, lived in Vilna. Same time he delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. First he was a businessman, then they made him a dayan in Vilna. He wrote all the Svarim when he was a businessman. Chayyodim and the Chachmas Adam. So the Chachmas Adam, he quotes the Shach, not the way we have it. He quotes the Shach as saying that the minig in Vilna is that you don't, not that you don't eat chaylev of a chaya unless you have a masorah that it's a chaya. He says you don't shecht any animal unless you have a masorah that it's a kosher animal. You may be misjudging. You need malager mafis parasa. So maybe we're making a mistake. In fact, in recent years, there was an animal in the African jungles that they thought for many years, the world's experts on animals thought for years that is both malager and mafis parasa, and they thought it had two spines. Then they came to the realization it's not malager. Just because it's always chewing something that's not called malager. Malager means the food is digested in the stomach, broken down with the end, then it goes back into the mouth, then they chew it, goes down again, then it goes back up again. That's called malager. So for many years, the Torah Tmima quotes this already, that animal should be considered a malager. And then recently they realized around 100 years, the world of science made a mistake, they misjudged, they thought the animal was malager, then they realized it's not malager. So that's what the Chachmas Adam understood, that the meaning of Vilna is you don't eat any animal unless you have a masorah that it's a kosher animal, you may be misjudging. That was years ago in Eretz Yisrael. There was a big issue about the zebu. The zebu is an animal that it's malagera, mafis parsa, has all the simanim, but it's not the same as a cow. It has milk that tastes almost like cow's milk, and it has humps on the back. It looks like a camel. The humps make it look a little like a camel, but it has malagera, mafis parsa. So strictly speaking, it's kosher. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's always an issue that the cows have to drink a lot of water because it's always warm, even in the wintertime, it's always warm, so you have to drink a lot. So just like camels have the ability to store a lot of water, so the zebu can store a lot of water. So they wanted to have, for the milk industry, they wanted to have zebu in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish corresponded with Rabbi Herzog, was at that time the chief rabbi. He said, you can't do that because there are so many Jews who are litvaks in Eretz Yisrael, and to them, the Chayyadim is like the Bible. They follow everything that it says in the Chayyadim Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says the meaning in Vilna is that they don't eat any animal unless they have a masorah. By fish, there is no such chumer. That's why they quote in Shulchan Aruch from the son of the Rosh. He has a collection of chubas. He says, by fish, there are tens of thousands of kinds of fish. You can't say you have to have a masorah on fish. If it has napa v'kaskesis, it's kosher. But then behemoth, you can say such a thing. So Rav Herzog finally gave in to the Chazon Ish, and they didn't give a hechsher. They didn't use zebu. But after many years, they were breeding the zebu with regular cows, and they came to the realization that if it's 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one, I forgot which way, either 5/8 cow and 3/8 zebu, or 5/8 zebu and 3/8 cow, then it has the best of both worlds. Then it stores a lot of water, and the milk tastes just like milk from a cow. So they were breeding the zebu with the cow, which is an issa. You're not allowed to. That's our boy's baim, is kelai baim. You're not allowed to breed the two together. So maybe Nochrim did it, someone did it. So once you can breed them together and they give birth to vladas, then the Gemara says in Bukharis, in the first pair, that a behemoth meya and a behemoth Torah cannot be moiled vladas together. And over here they do breed them together. So the masor that we have on cows, that they're kosher, carries over to the zebu. If the cows are kosher and they could be moiled together with the zebu, so you have a masor on the zebu as well. So now they allow zebu, but for many years they didn't allow it. because at that time it wasn't yet known that they can breathe together. So the masarim one carries over to the other. That was a famous asik. So Rav Dr. Lam said over a very fascinating medrash from the Yalkut HaRuveni, from the Midrash HaKliya, that the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah has a few datum about fish. What's the idea of snapa v'kaskeses? So kaskeses is to protect the skin of the fish. A fish usually has a lot of kaskosos, a lot of scales. The din is if it has one kaskeses, it's already mutter. But in principle, it's supposed to have a lot of scales on this on the skin to protect it. So a kosher fish has the ability to swim against the tide. The river is flowing in one direction, and this, the kosher fish can go against the tide. So this is an idea, represents the idea of the Jewish people, that we are a kosher fish. The whole world is going in one direction, and the Jews are going in a different direction. That's why Avraham Avinu is known as Avraham Ha'ivri, Kol Olam Kula Me'ivr, Echad V'hu Me'ivr Hasheni. The whole world is going in one direction. Avraham Avinu goes in a different direction. He's a monotheist, and he goes for Tzedek and Yosher. He's opposed to Gezel and so on. He stands up for all the right things. So there's a medrash in this Yalkut HaRuveni on Parshas Behaloscha. You have the two psukim, Ayimet Sohar and Abinucha Yama, and you have Nunim Hafuchim, before and after. So the word Nun in Aramaic means a fish. Nun Hafuchim means a fish that can swim against the tide. So that's what the Yalkut HaRuveni says on those psukim, that the Jewish people with the Torah, Ayimet Sohar means that the Jews travel around with the Torah all over, from one continent to the other, to the other. Abinucha Yama, whether we were traveling, whether we're staying, we always subscribe to the Torah, and we're like the kosher fish that they can swim against the tide. The Jews are always swimming against the tide because we have like we're coated with as if we were coated with kaskosais, so that protects our skin and that gives us the ability to go against the tide. I remember years ago in the summertime, we were touring in Italy. So we wanted to visit, there was a Vatican museum. So there's a shot you have to pay in order to get into the Vatican Museum. So some of the money perhaps goes to support the Catholic religion. So they told us that all the religious groups, everybody goes there and they all pay. So we also went on the tour. It wasn't worth seeing. We didn't see anything special there. If we would have told them in advance that we're coming and we wanted to see whatever Hebrew library that had, Hebrew Svarim, that they would show us kids for Yad Avnei Raman, they would show us what they had. But we didn't notify them in advance, so it was a waste of time. But we asked them before we went on the tour, we don't want to go to any churches. Do we have to go to a church on this tour? So the tour guide was thinking for a moment. He says, no, you can avoid all the churches. Then we go through the whole tour. And then at the end, in order to leave the museum, you have to walk through the Sistine Chapel, which is still used as a church for prayer services. They still use it. So we said, what do you mean? But he told us you don't have to walk through any churches. So instead of walking out the way everybody else walks out, we walked out the entrance way where everybody was coming in, we were going out. It's mamash like the religious Jews, they swim against the tide. Everybody's going in one direction and the Jewish people are going in the other direction. So Dr. Lam said over this fascinating medrash on this Yalkut HaRuveni, on the Nunim Hafuchim, the fish that swim against the tide. The Jewish people are the fish that swim against the tide. Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out in one of his famous drushes, I think this is printed in the Chamesh Drashot, that we say two brachas in the Birchas HaShachar. One bracha noisen layoif koyach, and one bracha ozi yisol b'gevura. So koyach and gevura, aren't they the same thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives strength to the people. Yesterday we were exhausted and we went to sleep and we woke up in the morning. Noisen layoif koyach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored our strength. So why do you say another bracha, Oz Yisrael, the Gevura, Kerecha, the same thing? Why? Another something of Kerecha is for everybody. And Oz Yisrael, the Gevura is only the Jewish people. So Rav Soloveitchik said, Kerech means strength. That's everybody regains the strength when you get a good night's sleep. Oz Yisrael, the Gevura means heroism. That the Jewish people are heroic. The whole world is going in one direction. We are like Ivrim. Avram Ha'ivri, Kol Olam Kula Me'ivr, Echad Hu Me'ivr Hasheni. Avraham Avinu is not embarrassed to stand alone and to do things counter-cultural, against the culture of the time. The Jews don't fall for every Narish guy that's happening in the world. So that's an important idea to keep in mind. The Jews are like the kosher fish that have the ability to swim against the tide. Okay, we'll leave that, and next week we will continue. We left off in the middle of the Melacha of Tzoveya.
We said that the Chachamim made a mistake and ate the Einak Kadosh Baruch maybe to call it.
That's a good question. The Stamma the Rishonim talk about it there. I don't know. But that's what the Gemara says. They were eating a non-kosher bird because they misjudged. They thought it had all the simonim and they made a mistake. They were eating a non-kosher bird. The Stamma the Rishonim talk about it. The Gemara now, what is on the Lamed?
What Masorah is there for the turkey?
Turkey was a big problem when Columbus came back to Europe. He brought the turkey with him, and they never had turkey in Europe. It came from India. Originally came from India, went to America, then it went back to Europe. So the Sfarim don't have this Chumrah. The turkey has all the simonim that are described in the Mishnah. And the Mechaber doesn't require that you should have a Masorah. Just the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Yonah from the Seis V'Heta Horach. Ben Yonah says it based on this Rashi and Masechas Avodah Zarah. So Ashkenazim have this Chumrah. So Columbus came back to Spain, so the Sfardim don't require a Masorah. Then after 50 years or so, the Ashkenazim see the Sfardim are eating turkey, so they assume they must have had an old Masorah. They had no Masorah. They brought it back from Columbus, brought it back from America. So that's why on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Shalom wouldn't eat turkey. His descendants wouldn't eat any turkey. Rabbi David Horowitz is a Rebbe in Yeshiva for many years. So he's the Shalom's name was Horowitz. So he's a descendant from the Shalom HaKodesh. So he said he has some relatives who are not so observant, not so reliable on Akasha, but turkey they would never eat. They may eat Chazer on Yom Kippur, but turkey they would never eat. No, that they don't eat yet. Because there's no Masorah on the turkey. Others write, some Achranim wrote that the Indians were the lost 10 tribes and they had a Masorah that the turkey was kosher. Where they get this wild idea that the Indians were the lost 10 tribes? You can say that basically turkey is the same as a chicken and the Masorah and the chicken carries over to the turkey, but then that's like saying all Nigunim are basically the same, just slightly a slight twist over here and a twist over there. All the birds are not the same. Well, the birds are slightly different. It's a different bird. You can't say. And the turkeys and the chickens, you can have artificial insemination to have them have lotus. But I don't think they mate together on their own. If you have turkeys and chickens, one is a male, one is a female, I don't think they'll mate on their own. And the Gemara says that a kosher animal can't be molded from a treifa animal. That's a suffix in the Chasam Sofer, but that only applies to animals, it even applies to birds. But even if you assume it applies to birds, it's not necessarily applicable if they can have lotus together through artificial insemination. Could be the Gemara only means if they can, on their own, they can mate the Zochowit and the Keva. So that's, it is an issue. The books about Masorah on the birds, they give all the suggestions that the Gedolim gave, why it should be mutter to eat turkey. Isn't it a violation of the Ashkenazic minig that you require a Masorah on birds? It is a topic for discussion. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.